Now it's time for a discussion in search of truth, dealing with current topics relating to your world, life, and spiritual growth in Christ. Now in the studio today is the host of True Path Talk.
All right, it is good to be back on in the studio today. This is Brother Jeremy Wilson, and I have with me Brother Darren Tisch. And he's not a pastor, he's not a missionary, though he is a friend of mine through some circumstances, and I'm sure he'll be mentioned in the interview, in which he and I have made contact. But he's got a testimony, and that's why I've asked him to come on to the phone with me today. And so, Brother Darren, it's good to have you here in this, on the phone for A True Path to Talk.
Thank you.
So, Brother Darren, when we first met, we got to talking about salvation and talking about just the redemptive work of Christ in our life. And so your testimony struck me, because oftentimes with individuals that I've witnessed to, and it becomes to religious, and an individual that's been in religion, a lot of times we think of it just being certain denominations, but you have a story that takes you into our crowd, the Baptist denomination. And so I'm just going to let you get going here, introduce yourself, and start talking about what God did in your life, Brother Darren.
Okay, well, my name is Darren Tischner. I'm 55 years old. I come from an unchurched family. When I was 30 years old, I was introduced to Christ by a fellow. I didn't even know him at the time. He gave me the plan of salvation. I made a profession of faith, and I started trying to practice what I would hear from one Sunday to the next Sunday in my life, and trying to figure out what exactly God wanted me to do. I was very active in church. I started teaching Sunday school probably about 6 or 8 months after, maybe about a year after I joined a church in Gulfport. And I stayed very active in church. I really wanted to do something for the Lord. I stayed active with soul winning, visitation, pretty much at the preacher's beck and call. But I struggled probably for 20 years. I struggled with a besetting sin in my life that just kept pulling me away from God. And I got a lot of, I don't know the word to use, but I became satisfied, or it felt, at least felt like I was accepted by the Lord, because I had made a profession of faith, and I was so active in church. And I went on with that routine for about 18 years. And the Bible says, be sure your sin to find you out, and mine found me out. And I, after counseling with the preacher and with my wife, and just, I spent probably, after my world came crashing down, I probably spent about 2 years struggling with victory in my life. I heard a preacher say one night that if you lack the power of God in your life, it may be that you lack the Spirit of God in your life. And the Lord used that to really grip my heart, and I didn't even know what I was experiencing, but I was very, very nervous, very fearful. I've taken my Bible at that time, and I started searching the Scriptures, trying to find the comfort. And that experience actually happened to me on a Sunday night about 10 o'clock at night. And I actually stayed up the whole entire night, walking around my yard, talking to God, reading my Bible. And the next morning, my wife got up and said, you know, what's wrong with you? And I told her I really honestly did not know. And she had suggested that perhaps I might need to call the preacher. And I called my preacher, who was my pastor at the time, named Stephen Crane in Gulfport. And he explained to me, so now it's Monday morning, I'm supposed to be at work, I'm in such distress that I couldn't even go to work. And I'm not a person that missed work, I work every day. And I called the preacher and explained to him what I was going through, and he asked me about my salvation experience, and I explained to him that I had made a profession of faith about 20 years ago, and that I don't know what's wrong with me. And after talking to me about and asking me for my testimony and asking me if I had followed the Lord in believer's baptism and explaining to me that, you know, it's important that I read my Bible and that it's important that I pray, and explaining to me how, which I understood what he was saying about read my Bible as God talking to me, and me praying as God is me talking to God, and it's about a relationship. But right in the middle of he stopped and he asked me, he said, what does your wife think? Has she ever asked you if you're truly saved? And I said, well, she's asked me that before. And he, being wise, he said, if my wife doubted my salvation, I would at least look into it. And I said, well, maybe I need to come meet with you. And I really did not doubt my salvation, because as far as I was understanding, is I did exactly what God told me to do. And I went and met with the preacher probably about 10 o'clock on Monday morning. And in his wisdom, he looked at me and said, Brother Darren, what do you need to do? And when he posed that question to me, I knew the answer. I knew I needed to get saved.
So, Brother Darren, let me back up to when you said that when he asked you the question, had your wife, what did she think? What was her thoughts? When those conversations had come up in the past, how did you respond? Were you defensive with her? Were you, had the Holy Spirit brought conviction at that moment? What was it like in those, or do you recall?
I do. A term that we hear used loosely in church is backslid. So you can cover a whole lot of territory believing that you're backslid.
Exactly.
And because of that, almost everything got put under that label.
Okay.
I did enough good in church, and when I say enough, I'm talking about enough for myself, and enough to win the respect of the people around me, that any problem I had was not a salvation problem. It was a decision problem with that particular moment. But there was a verse in the Bible that always, I could see it and hear it, but I just couldn't get it. And Paul said that we are more than conquerors. But I wasn't. I was in a lot of areas in my life, but not in areas that I didn't want to be. In other words, I didn't have something acting inside of me. It was me acting. And I just, for years, I just kind of got smacked around by my own wicked heart.
So for you, through those years, it was the Holy Spirit just kept bringing back, sounds like, this subject of victory and conquering the flesh and sin, then, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. Well, when I look back into my younger years as a Christian, or as living as a Christian, salvation came up quite often. I remember one experience. I went to a prison revival, and what it would consist of is a preacher going into a cell block and preaching, and all these preacher boys, he would give an invitation. All these preacher boys and would come and talk to anybody that came forward. And I remember asking a gentleman, I looked him face to face, and I said, sir, if you die today, would you go to heaven? Or no, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? And something in my heart said, I was absolutely worthless as far as a testimony, a witness, the whole rest of the night. I went home so defeated, and I remember saying something like, Lord, if I'm not saved, I need to know it, and I'm not getting off my knees until you show me. And I remember waking up, my legs were numb, and I was like, okay, well, I must be saved. And I remember something, as silly as that sounds, I remember that. And that was, that probably had to be, probably 18 years ago.
Wow.
And I really never had another experience that I can think of that I wasn't able to explain the way the conviction in my heart. I always narrowed it down to being backslid.
Yeah. So now...
And not even realizing what front slid even felt like, because I had never been saved. I think somewhere in my mind, I kind of thought that possibly being a Christian was doing right, trying to do something for God, not being surrendered where God could do something through you.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that until now.
So then fast forwarding back to the conversation with the pastor. So he asked about your wife and what her thoughts were. And then you respond that she had questioned you as well.
Well, I think his exact words was, "Brother Darren, have your wife ever asked you about your salvation?" I said, "Well, she's doubted my salvation before." And he said, "Darren, if my wife ever doubted my salvation, I would at least look into that."
Wow.
And when I met with him and he asked me that question, it was like the Lord just turned the light on for me. When he asked me what did I need to do, I knew. And I looked at him, I said, "Brother Crane, I need to get saved." And he started telling me how to get saved. Now, you'd have to understand, I led soul winning at our church for probably 10 years. I'm talking about 30, 40, 50 people, maybe sometimes even more than that, would pile on a bus and go into a neighborhood and go and invite people to church. And if we're given the opportunity, witness to them and ask them about their salvation. So while he's trying to tell me how to get saved, he starts laughing. He goes, "You know how to get saved. Why don't you just go ahead and do it?" And I did. I bowed my head and I said, "Dear Lord, I just appreciate your mercy on me. I appreciate you being long-suffering." I didn't fake or phony, which is what I had become, but I didn't even realize. I was just trying to do the best I could. But that's not what being a Christian is. It ain't doing the best you can. Realizing you can't and asking God to help you.
Yeah.
And something pretty incredible happened to me. When I asked my Lord to save, when I asked the Lord to save me, my wife immediately just started bawling. I had no energy after that. I'd been up all Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, stayed up all Sunday night. Now it's about 10, 11 o'clock Monday morning, and I have no energy. I mean, I am mentally, I'm just exhausted. Like my head's leaning, I'm so tired. It was a wonderful day.
Amen. So was your wife there in that conversation with
you? Oh,
Jose?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, she was sitting right there.
So I'm going to back up to one of the conversations you and I had before, and that was that you had made the statement that it was through your son that got you into church the first time, you know, the 18, 20 years ago, through that situation. So with that in mind, that it was through the children that they got you to church. You went several years, of course, just pretending and not being truly born again. Now you get saved. Of course, your wife knows. So how did you tell your kids? How did that come about, saying, "Hey, here's the change in Daddy"? Because they've grown up with you in church, I would assume, at this point. So
yeah, that was a bit of... So it's Monday, and we call an emergency family meeting. This is Monday evening, the same day. And we call all of our children. We tell them we don't care what's going on in your lives. We got to talk to you about something. My wife ordered a bunch of pizza. And you could tell the looks on everybody's face, like, "What's going on? What kind of news are we fixing to get?"
Well, I'm sure.
And my wife gave me the floor, and I said, "I just want you to know that I got saved today." And I have three children. My oldest one is the one that got into church first, and he didn't stay in church. But we got introduced to the church by him doing a vacation Bible school. And his response was the most bizarre. He looked at me and he said, "Dad, I know you got saved a long time ago because I remember you quit drinking." Hmm. And I looked at him, I said, "Son, it's not about what you quit doing or what you start doing. It's about possessing Christ."
Yeah.
And of course, my other two children, they were just happy for me. But even since, I mean, from that time forward, I get different kind of responses from people. Some of them are just plain happy for you. Some of them are like, oh, there's no way you could think you're saved for that long. And I said, well, I just raised my hand. I said, I can be a witness that if I thought I was lost, I would have gotten saved.
Yeah.
I was really 100% convinced that I was okay. Not that I was right with God. And there's times that if I was a Christian, I would have been right with him. Because I didn't walk in total defeat, but I had an underlying problem that just kept. If I got right, I couldn't stay right.
Yeah.
And I can tell you now, as a born-again believer, there's a totally difference. There's a difference in trying to do something and trying to let God do it. I simply submit and surrender. That's my job. That's my responsibility to God, is to submit and surrender and to listen, obey.
Yeah, yes. So do you remember when you first got saved, did you remember any type of situations or circumstances where you knew the change had taken place, but you had a victory at that time immediately that you had never experienced before? Did you have those types of experiences?
It was an underlying peace that it was just okay. Now, I had already gotten myself into trouble. In other words, my life wasn't in perfect way at the time. In other words, that verse, be sure your sins find you out, mine found me out. When I got saved, it didn't get me out of trouble.
Right.
But there was something in my heart that was totally different. In other words, I just knew no matter what, the fear that was in my heart was gone.
Yeah.
It was just going to be okay. I was just okay. I knew I was going to be okay. And my frown went away.
Amen.
Which is, I've been smiling ever since. I'm so excited to be on this side. I wish I did it before, but I'm glad now that I did.
Yeah. It is truly John 3. It is a work of the Spirit of God bringing about a conviction and a knowledge of the Savior. It's not just about what we do or a religious action.
Well, I think the one thing that surprises me the most is just absolutely how patient that God was with me, because he knew the whole, no matter whether I faked myself out or no matter what, God knew I was not saved. He knew that. And I was in positions in the church as a lost person walking around like a Christian, and I wasn't one. I remember one year we got challenged to read our Bibles. I read my Bible through 9 times in 1 year.
Wow.
And an old preacher said, what did you get out of it? I said, well, I don't know. He goes, well, didn't do you no good. I was a practicing Christian, but I was not a Christian.
Right.
Now, here's something that happened. This is something, because I started asking the Lord, because I was confused myself. I was like, man, how can I fake myself out? How can I fool myself? And something that I realized about myself is that I'm an average Joe. In other words, I'm not the tallest or the shortest or the fattest or the skinniest or the smartest or the least intelligent. I'm in the middle there somewhere. And that's what I know about myself. And my point is that I'm average. So I have to believe I'm not the only person that's stuck in that rut. And
yeah, exactly.
By knowing that, I get saved on Monday. I go to church Wednesday night. The preacher gives an invitation. Of course, I go forward. I've been saved. I need to get baptized. So I go forward and I tell the preacher, I said, I've been saved. And he says, well, awesome. Great. Congratulations. I said, I'd like to get baptized. And the preacher looks at me. Now, keep in mind, I've been in the church circle for 20 years. So most everybody knows me, even from different churches. So the preacher says something like this to me. Hey, I can tell them what happened to you, but in most of the people here know you, I think it would mean more coming from you. I had not prepared a speech. I had no idea, and I'm not a spokesman. I'm not a speaker. I said, well, I'd say something. And I said what I just told you, that I feel like I'm average. I'm not the smartest or the least intelligent. I'm in the middle. And I have to believe that I'm not the only person that has this struggle in their life. And that night, the assistant pastor's wife got saved.
Wow.
She came forward and told my wife that when that man was talking, he was talking to me. And we both know that's the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yeah.
And so if the Lord is talking to you today, all you got to do is turn around, just surrender, just say, "That's me." You know.
Yeah.
I've been saved now. Let me look in my Bible because I can give you the date. My first salvation experience that I claimed, I knew it was on a Wednesday night, but I didn't know the date. So after I got saved, I said, "I'm going to record this date because I want to know, I almost want to know the minute." But since then, I've been able to lead some of my friends to the Lord, because I would give them my testimony and they would say something like this: "I've been thinking about that." And I said, "Quit thinking.
Yeah.
Do it right now."
Yeah.
I got saved on February the 26th of 2018 at 11:04 a.m. at Temple Baptist Church. And I can tell you now, as a Christian, living with that peace and that comfort that only God can give you, it ain't trying to measure up. It's knowing that I'm made complete in Christ. I mean, with all my imperfections, I am okay. And it is just exciting to wake up in the morning and wonder what the Lord's going to do today, how he's going to do it, understanding that God makes no mistakes, that he's truly the boss, absolutely nothing happens to me without his written permission. It is exciting. And I've got to meet people like, I could meet a lot of people. I'm just amazed.
Amen.
I believe God puts a Christian, a born-again believer, I believe he puts a Christian in a position where he can use him. And if he'll let God, if it's okay, use me, I think God will. I think God will just simply say, "Okay, next, just, okay." Like, God gives me the opportunity to allow him to use me and to work through me. And our friendship has grown from just simply serving God.
And
I'm excited.
Well, I've enjoyed the friendship, and for those that are listening, we were building the building here, adding on to missions apartment and work, and reached out to another believer, and he put me in touch with Brother Darren concerning doing some work here for the building, and that just started the friendship. The first conversation that I go back to was just hearing at that time you told me your testimony, and just hearing the Spirit of God work in an individual's life and bring that place of salvation. And so I sure appreciate Brother Darren, you being on the program with us today. And if there's someone here that you're listening, and you have, as we say, wrestled with, you're not sure of that salvation, the Holy Spirit of God will show you, and get in the Word of God, let him speak to you, and see the Savior and the transforming power of the gospel of Christ. It doesn't matter whether it's Baptist, Catholicism, or any other religion that you mention. Religion is just that. It's just religious. But salvation is completely different. It's a victory in Christ.
Here's something I would like to say. Now, they say when you die that you can't bring nothing with you, but you can bring your family by being a good witness and allowing God to correct you in front of your family. In other words, let people see God working in your life. Let people see that God is real to you. And when their day comes, they're going to want what you got. I have been able to, I have seen a lot of my family and friends get saved. I am just super excited. I appreciate your work. I appreciate what you're doing. Praise God.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of True Path Talk. You can reach us at truepathradio.com, and we would love to hear from you with questions or comments.